Today is Friday, January 6th. We're talking about President Biden's new plan to crack down on illegal immigration and why some lawmakers and advocates are already upset about it. Also, how the House GOP leader is trying to convince members to elect him speaker after 11 failed votes now. And what the NFL player who collapsed during a game asked his doctors when he woke up in the ICU. Plus, a new vaccine for honeybees, another former crypto exec accused of fraud, and a man who ran 365 marathons in 1 year for a good cause. Those stories and more in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy, all the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, they are the toughest immigration rules yet from the Biden administration. President Biden says starting now on the U.S.-Mexico border, people from Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Haiti will be sent back into Mexico without getting a chance to apply for asylum here in the U.S. And that's actually where most migrants are coming from these days. On average, it's 70,000 of them every month. He told anyone from those countries who wants asylum to stay where they are and apply from there. Then up to 30,000 of them will be able to enter the country each month. But they'll only be accepted if they can afford a plane ticket, get a sponsor, pass a background check, and meet other requirements. And it will stay this way no matter what the Supreme Court decides about Title 42. That was what turned people away at the border in response to the pandemic. The change comes in response to the record-breaking immigration surge on the southern border. As Biden put it, quote, "These actions alone aren't going to fix our entire immigration system, but they can help us a good deal." But some Democrats and immigration advocates immediately criticized this announcement as inhumane to people who are fleeing violence in their home countries. They also point out that Biden campaigned on ending a Trump-era policy that forced people seeking asylum to wait in Mexico. They compare this new policy to that one and say Biden is breaking his promises. But on the other side, some Republicans say Biden isn't cracking down enough, since they say even with the new policy, thousands of migrants will be released into the U.S. Either way, Biden now says this issue is a priority. He is making his first trip as president to the border over the weekend. There, he's set to announce new funding to help border communities deal with this influx of migrants who've already been filling up shelters and streets. Then the plan is for Biden to travel to Mexico City to meet with other North American leaders. Stay tuned. The historic deadlock on Capitol Hill is now extending into a fourth day. The U.S. House has taken 11 votes so far, and not one time has there been enough support to elect a speaker. But as the Washington Post reports, there are some signs of progress. The Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, has been holding talks with the few members of his party who aren't voting for him to see what he can do to get their votes. Reports cite sources who say he's agreed to a few of their demands, like supporting a new rule that would make it easier for them to get rid of the speaker, adding more of those lawmakers to the House Rules Committee, and promising votes on a couple of their priority bills. And with that, they're apparently getting a little closer to a deal that would get McCarthy the 218 votes he needs to be elected speaker. For now, though, no official deal has been announced. All 212 Dems are still voting for their party leader, and the negotiations continue. In the meantime, lawmakers can't get any other work done. One Republican tweeted that he couldn't even communicate with his staff about active casework until he was sworn in. So with that, the House will come together once again today at noon, with the speaker vote being the only thing on the agenda. For the third time in a week, California is in the path of a major storm, and people aren't getting much time to prepare since the last one just started letting up yesterday. It dumped rain and snow over most of the state, but especially in the Bay Area and Northern California. This week, San Francisco recorded the wettest 10-day period since 1871. But in the latest storm system, people in California have been getting the worst effects from the strong winds that have downed trees and power lines. Sadly, two people also died in the storm. The next one is expected to hit the California coast tonight. It isn't expected to be quite as intense as the last two, but it could still end up doing some damage since it's bringing more water to already rain-soaked areas. And the rain and gusty winds could last for at least another week. Well, there is some encouraging news about the recovery of Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin. His doctors say even though he's still in critical condition, he's making remarkable progress, now awake, alert, and moving his hands and feet. He still cannot speak since he's on a ventilator, but he's able to communicate through writing. And when he woke up, one of the very first things he asked was whether the Bills ended up winning that game against the Bengals after he collapsed. Of course, we know that game was postponed. Then last night, the NFL officially canceled it. But one doctor told him he won the game of life. By the way, ever since Hamlin went into cardiac arrest on Monday night, fans have been finding ways to support him. First, we told you millions of dollars had been raised for his charity that supports toy drives, back-to-school drives, kids' camps, and more. And now, the sports apparel store Fanatics says Hamlin jerseys have been the most sought after across all sports. So the company decided to donate all proceeds from the jersey sales to Hamlin's foundation. More news is still coming up, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor, Rothy's. I personally love that the new year is a time to reflect and reset. Not to put pressure on myself, but just to take stock of what makes me feel good and what small things I might want to upgrade or change. And this year, cleaning out my closet and getting a bit more organized is one of my big to-dos. And part of cleaning out my closet means donating a bunch of old and refreshing my 2023 wardrobe. But I always notice that my Rothy's shoes go in the keep pile, because they have a timeless style, they're super comfortable, and they're high quality and durable, so they still look great even after it's been years. Plus, I may be getting a new pair since Rothy's always has new options. Flats, loafers, sneakers, and more in dozens of colors and prints, and yes, they are even launching more soon. You might also know by now that I love Rothy's shoes because they are sustainably made with their signature thread spun from recycled single-use plastic bottles. For stylish and comfortable shoes, shop Rothy's. Get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. It's a major step in protecting tiny creatures that play a huge role in food production. The USDA approved the very first vaccine for honeybees. The oral vaccine would protect bees from a deadly bacterial disease called American foul brood, which can infect entire colonies and kill larvae. The company that made the vaccine says it'll be available next year and given to bees through their food supply. The company says the vaccine is chemical-free and won't negatively impact the quality of the honey produced by vaccinated bees. Around the world, bees have struggled to survive because of spreading diseases, pesticide poisoning, and climate change. And the disappearance of bees is cause for concern, since reports say one-third of the global food supply relies on pollination. So the hope is this new vaccine will not only protect the honeybees, but also protect the human food supply as well. Another crypto billionaire is being accused of fraud. This time, it's the founder and former CEO of the cryptocurrency bank Celsius Network that went bankrupt over the summer. The New York Attorney General is now accusing Alex Mashinsky of a scheme to defraud hundreds of thousands of investors, since for years he said publicly his platform was safer and more lucrative than traditional banks. Well, the New York AG says that wasn't true and that he was actually hiding some deep losses on risky investments. So investors lost billions of dollars. Now the lawsuit says Mashinsky needs to pay damages and never do business in New York again. This is just the latest fraud case involving the cryptocurrency industry. As you know, the founder of the collapsed crypto exchange, FTX, is facing criminal and civil fraud charges, though he's pleading not guilty. As for Mashinsky, at last check, he has not responded to the lawsuit against him, and Celsius just said in a statement that Mashinsky was no longer involved in managing the company. As expected, a lot of new tech was showcased on the first day of CES. The biggest tech trade show features thousands of high-tech gadgets and products. And this year, new cars are among the big reveals getting a lot of buzz. For example, BMW is showing off a prototype of its new car called D, spelled D-E-E, which stands for Digital Emotional Experience. The automaker says D can respond and communicate with its owner like a friend would. BMW also says the car will be able to change colors. Separately, Sony is jumping into the car game. The electronics company is teaming up with Honda to develop what it's calling a Fila. It's an electric vehicle that's apparently able to interact with people outside the car with the electronic media bar displaying text on the bumper. It's expected to be released to the public in 2026. Other highlights from CES so far include a self-driving stroller that can push itself and brake on its own, a massive 97-inch LG electronics TV that can stream and connect wirelessly, and audio sunglasses developed by singer and dancer Paula Abdul that can stream music via Bluetooth from the sides of the frames. CES continues through Sunday. Yet another massive lottery prize is up for grabs tonight. No one matched the winning numbers during Tuesday night's Mega Millions drawing, so the jackpot is up to $940 million. That's the sixth largest jackpot in U.S. history. But as always, be warned, your chances of winning it all are 1 in 302.6 million. The Mega Millions drawing will happen tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. That's it for the main news today. So now it's time for Feel Good Friday, when we bring you one extra feel good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, a quick break for our sponsor. If your New Year's goals are to manage your budget better and save money, you'll want to check out Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like a streaming service you bought to watch just one show, or a free trial that you never even used. Well, Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want or don't use. The same day I signed up, I found two subscriptions I had forgotten about and was able to immediately cancel them, saving me money I didn't even know I was wasting each month. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. That's rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Feel Good Friday. How's this for a New Year's resolution? One man in the UK set out to run an entire marathon every single day of 2022. And guess what? He actually did it. Gary McKee ran 26.2 miles each day of the year before going to work. Overall, he logged more than 9,500 miles and burned through 20 pairs of running shoes. But he had a good reason to do it. McKee wanted to raise awareness and money for two causes near to his heart, a local cancer support group and home hospice organization. He ended up raising about $1.2 million. This is actually not a totally new feat for McKee, though. Over the past two decades, he's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, jumped out of airplanes, walked across hot coals, and rode the equivalent distance of the English Channel twice, all to raise money for charity. But he says running 365 marathons in 365 days was by far his biggest challenge. When McKee ran his final marathon of the year last week, he got it done in a little over 4 hours. He celebrated alongside a crowd of friends and supporters with a well-deserved beer at the finish line. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with our special edition Saturday episode. Money is a common New Year's resolution, so what does it really take to make a change? Our guest shares the mindset and action that helped her go from $15,000 to her name to having a $600,000 net worth in a few years. Then join us again Monday for your next news roundup. For now, thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.